Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. On this Thursday, what is it, Walker?
Thursday, March 28th.
March 28th. We welcome you to this program. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
All right, Walker, tell our listeners how they can engage with the program.
Yeah, a couple of different ways. We're on both Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And we're also on the internet, being our website, afr.net. So all three places you can listen to the show, and on Facebook and YouTube, you can listen and watch the show. We'll post the news articles on our Facebook page. And speaking of Facebook, yesterday, you know, we talked about my twin boys being born, Samuel and Andrew. Well, I posted some pictures of them on my Facebook page, on my personal Facebook page. So if folks want to go and see pictures of my twin boys, they can go do that.
Okay.
Because I know there were some people interested.
I didn't know you were back on Facebook.
Yeah, I got back on Facebook a couple months ago.
Okay. All right, well, check that out. Walker Wildman, W-I-L-D-M-O-N. And check out the twin boys there. So are they a week old now?
A week and one day. Yep.
All right. It's a lot to talk about, Fred Jackson.
Sure is. Well, you know, the big news when we started this week was the release of the Mueller report late last week, and basically, you know, no collusion. Well, the attention is now turning, at least in the Republican camp. Okay, who were the players? What information was given out that started the Mueller investigation? And late last night, Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul says he wants to take a look at the involvement of former CIA Director John Brennan in all of this. Basically, what Rand Paul is saying is that John Brennan insisted that the unverified and fake Steele dossier, you know, that was at least partially, if not fully funded by Hillary Clinton's campaign, made it to the FISA court without the FISA court knowing the source. So Rand Paul this morning, he was on Fox and Friends talking about this and other players who were involved with all of this. Remember, this dossier made it look like there was something going on with the Trump campaign and the Russians. But
it was made up. It was bogus.
And the FISA court was not told about the source of all of this.
Intentionally.
And what Rand Paul is saying is that this former CIA director, John Brennan, he had something to do with holding back that information from the FISA court. And he says others did too. Cut number two.
Well, my source tells me that the intelligence community, Obama's intelligence community, Brennan, Clapper, Comey, they were frustrated because they had this Russian dossier, but nobody believed it was real. It wasn't verifiable. They couldn't get anything of it. So finally they decided, well, what we have to do is attach this dossier, this fake dossier, to an intelligence report. Well, what they do is they staple to the report the Russian dossier. So now Obama's officially seeing it, but realize that this is a big circle. When John McCain is given the dossier, it's given to him by people who may have leaked it from our government to John McCain, so John McCain can give it back to the FBI. I mean, it's a crazy circle.
That's unbelievable.
So John McCain is in this little pipeline creating this image that Trump's been up to no good with the Russians.
To John McCain, I'm no fan of John McCain's, of course, the late John McCain now, the senator, and in many respects, I think he was not conservative. But let me ask you this, and that he was given this dossier, and the dossier folks were talking about was filled with slanderous stuff made up by, it was a work of
fiction. It was opposition research, which is spotty at best.
But it was not verifiable. There's nothing to many people, it was trying to make President Trump, then candidate Trump, look as bad as possible, mm-hmm. with no verified, just a bunch of mud slinging.
Right.
And worse. So, paid for by Hillary Clinton's campaign, right?
Right.
We've been over that before. But if that's given to John McCain, is he supposed to throw it in the garbage, the shredder, or is he supposed to hand it over to the FBI because he doesn't want to be responsible should some of it be true?
Well,
so that's the question.
Yeah. Well, to me, John McCain should have looked at that and said, is this even legitimate? Should I hand over this to the FBI, or is the FBI just going to laugh at me? Why is it John McCain's responsibility to hand over the dossier?
He's a U.S. senator.
But the question that Rand Paul brought up is who handed him the dossier?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which Rand Paul hints that it was someone within the federal government.
Yes.
Yeah, which... For the administration.
Well, but here's the other thing. You have to ask the question. So what was it about John McCain that somebody in the Obama administration thought, here's a good Republican to give this dirt to?
Because they knew McCain didn't like Trump.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah. you find, you know, John McCain right. doesn't yeah. like Donald Trump, so let's hand him this.
Right.
And he'll do the work yeah. for us. He'll give us some credibility.
Mm-hmm. What we got here is something that's completely unverifiable that was unbelievable to the people who read it. I listened to Greg Jarrett from Fox News. He read it like two or three times, this dossier, and it was a work of fiction. So that was John Brennan. Now, what's his part in this? John Brennan, the former CIA director for President Obama.
Well, what Senator Rand Paul is saying is that he pushed the idea, gave credibility to the dossier, so that it would be taken to the FISA court.
Okay.
So that the FISA court
spy on Trump campaign.
Spy on Trump campaign people.
Okay. This whole thing. Who's going to get to the bottom of all this?
Well,
Lindsey Graham wants to.
Well, Rand Paul is a player in this. But I think President Trump, dog with a bone, is not going to give up on this. He's not going to, like some Republicans were suggesting, and certainly, let's just put all this away and move mm-hmm. on to other things. No, President Trump, he was interviewed by Sean Hannity on Fox last night. He says what Democrats did, and he used this word, was treasonous. Well, and he's going to release, to that end, President Trump plans to release all the information associated with the application that mm-hmm. went to the FISA court. All right? Mm-hmm. This is the kind of stuff that we've been waiting for. Who put all this together? What right. names are attached to this?
Yeah.
What information? So here's President Trump last night on Hannity, cut number one.
If the Republican Party had done this to the Democrats, if we had done this to President Obama, you'd have 100 people in jail right now and it mm-hmm. would be treason. It would be considered treason, and they'd be in jail for the rest of their lives.
Mr. President, you have the ability to release the FISA applications. Do you have plans to release those FISA applications?
I do. I have plans to declassify and release. I have plans to absolutely release. But one of the reasons that my lawyers didn't want me to do it is they said if I do it, they'll call it a form of obstruction.
So now he doesn't have to worry about that
right.
now
because Mueller said there was no collusion.
Yeah, and here's a couple things. You know, with the John McCain thing, with, you know, some of these things are not illegal. They just look bad and they're unethical. But there are a couple things here that are illegal, and that's what I wish we would get to the bottom of. I don't really want a rehashing of how this all started if nobody's going to be held responsible. Because then we're just doing like the Democrats and wasting a bunch of time for political reasons.
Right.
So there's a couple things that could easily be taken care of here. First thing is, did the FBI, did Peter Strzok intentionally mislead the FISA court? Did he submit the FISA warrant application and intentionally not say where the dossier came from?
Right.
That would be misleading the court, and you could be indicted for that.
Do we know the answer to that?
We don't know the answer for that, but that's something that could pretty easily be answered with an investigation. The second thing is Andrew McCabe, on a separate note, lied 3 to 4 times under oath to the FBI investigators and to Congress. That criminal referral was sent from the Inspector General's office over to a U.S. Attorney's office in Maryland. That has gone silent. Andrew McCabe has not been charged at all. There's not even been a grand jury put together. That's the second thing. The last thing is, you have all the laws that Hillary Clinton broke and her team with the email server, with the Clinton Foundation, all that stuff just disappeared. So there's all these things out there that are, would be slam dunks for a prosecutor, and nobody's talking about them.
Not yet. I'm willing to give Attorney General Barr an opportunity here.
Mm-hmm. Maybe give him 6 months or so?
Not that long.
Nope.
I'm thinking a month.
Yeah.
A month. Give him a month to announce what he's going to do about it.
Okay.
And then if he doesn't do anything about it, all this stuff, then I would consider him a part of the swamp.
Right.
Well, and it's justified. An investigation has to getting from point A to point B. Point B being announcing that Mueller was going to investigate the allegation. We need to know how we got from, okay, there's an allegation here, to a full-blown,
right,
two-year, multi-million-dollar investigation.
And the, another legal question that could be, that is a slam dunk also, is Rod Rosenstein appointing a special counsel without a crime. Mm-hmm. According to the DOJ procedures, there has to be an identifiable crime. There has to be something like pay-to-play, the Clinton Foundation. There has to be something like having classified information in a bathroom on a private server. Those are identifiable crimes. You cite the statute, you point at the crime, right, you investigate.
Yeah.
But with this, and this is just like Adam Schiff and others who are going on these talk shows saying there's evidence of collusion. And the main question is, or the main thing is, collusion's not a crime. Let's just say that Trump did collude with Putin. Let's say Trump and Putin met and Putin had Oppo research on Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. That's not a crime. Does that look bad? Sure. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Yeah, absolutely. But that's not a crime. So you can't prosecute that which is not a crime.
And that didn't happen, by the way.
No, that's a hypothetical.
You're just saying had it happened.
Yeah, the worst case scenario that Trump's somehow a Russian agent.
Yeah.
That collusion's not a crime.
Bottom line here, moving on to the next story, is you had an effort on the part of high-ranking government officials, Democrats, in the Obama administration, that some of them carried over to the Trump administration, their career. We've listed the characters' names. And they tried to take down a duly elected president, mm-hmm, through a nonviolent coup.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's right.
Huh?
Yep.
And it's just undeniable to me. Now, James Comey would deny it, but I guess maybe for his part or whatever, he's still a believer that nothing went wrong here.
Right.
But there's just too many things that we've described here ad nauseum that demonstrate these people thought they were on a mission, on a righteous mission, that Donald Trump was. Well, let me put it this way. Some of them probably thought they were on a righteous mission to go after President Trump, maybe at the time President-elect Trump, because, for some reason he was in collusion with the Russians. The others thought that they didn't like the fact that he was president. They disagreed with his politics.
Yeah.
And they wanted to damage him before he ever got started.
And sure. I think that's the main reason.
You think that's, mm-hmm, the main reason?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One other aspect to this, put yourself in President Donald Trump's chair for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He knew there was no collusion. He knew it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got James Comey, former FBI. He was the FBI director when Trump became president.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows James Comey's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
He's upset with Jeff Sessions. Remember, he knows there was no collusion.
Right.
Jeff Sessions recuses himself.
Yeah, I know.
From all of this. He knows Rod Rosenstein put Mueller into action.
Right.
You can understand why day after day after day.
Yeah,
the reporters were pounding him, and Adam Schiff would say, definitely collusion.
I bet there wasn't a news conference that went by that President Trump wasn't asked about this hoax.
Absolutely.
Or some question related to it.
Yeah. So now James Comey, even in the last 24 hours, he's out there saying, well, I think there was some effort by Trump to obstruct justice. No, Trump knew there was no collusion, but he knew James Comey was part of the plan here. No wonder he fired him.
Yeah. Right.
And to that point, I called Abe Hamilton, who hosts the Hamilton Corner. He also comes in on Wednesdays. He's our general counsel and public policy analyst. I asked Abe this morning, I said, Abe, is there, let's just say hypothetically, President Trump did tell James Comey, the then FBI director, quote, go easy on Michael Flynn. Let's just say that hypothetically did happen, and we don't know if it did or not. This is Michael Flynn, the former National Security Advisor, who got caught up in the FBI investigation. Abe said there is no way President Trump can obstruct justice because he has a pardon power. He has a pardon power. He's the chief law enforcement officer in the country. He physically cannot obstruct justice. Can he do
that? By definition.
By definition, by law. Could it look bad if he started, you know, meddling around in investigations, trying to get his buddies out
there? You mean like Michelle Obama's assistant?
Yeah, exactly. Or like going easy on Hillary Clinton, things like that. Sure, those things look bad, but the president cannot obstruct justice. And so that whole thing, you know, was faulty from the get-go.
I'll tell you, one day, if this continues, this will probably never be found out. I would like to know how former President Bill Clinton got $500,000 to speak in Moscow.
Yeah.
Huh? Wow. Now, he's got a good agent right there. You got to give it to him. Huh? To get that kind of price tag for one speech?
Well, while his wife was Secretary of State.
Yes. And and there was a uranium deal.
In Russia. He went to Russia. President Trump didn't even go to Russia.
Right. Yeah.
He didn't even go. But Bill Clinton went to Russia. Delivered one heck of a speech, got $500,000 for what, maybe an hour, couple hours?
Yeah.
And then they got a lot of donations to the Clinton Foundation while she was Secretary of State, right? From Russia? Is that true?
Yes, that's correct.
And from a uranium company.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the while anticipating, fully expecting that she'll be the next president.
Yes, and all this would go away.
All this appears that the Russians, and I use that term broadly, were, getting in on the action before Hillary became president.
Yeah.
And then they could cash in on all the donations they had made to the Clintons.
That Clinton Foundation investigation and the Uranium One scandal that kind of went away. See, all those things are slam dunks. I mean, those are easy cases
if they're ever investigated.
If they're investigated and tried, because and then you have Rod Rosenstein, who was a U.S. attorney in Maryland, who let all those people off the hook for the bribe and pay to play with the Uranium One. So all that just disappeared because they thought Hillary Clinton was going to be president.
Oh, me. Now the tables may turn. I think it all depends on William, is that his first name? Barr?
Yes, William Barr.
Attorney General William Barr. Mm-hmm. It's all on him.
Yep.
Where this goes. And I give him a month. And if he doesn't announce either a special counsel or to go after all this stuff we're talking about, or in the role of Robert Mueller, I'm talking about, or announced that it's going to be investigated internally at the Justice Department, you know.
And I just want something, you know, like
some answers.
This Andrew McCabe criminal referral. I mean, that's at least try it. I mean, if the grand jury decides that maybe he can reach a plea deal, that's fine. That's up to them. But at least try it.
What about the inspector? What do you call that?
Inspector General.
Michael Horowitz.
Well, somebody's going to come out with a report in May about all this.
Yeah, that's who it is.
Yes, Horowitz.
Okay. Now, what's his title? Inspector General?
He's the Inspector General of the Department of Justice.
Okay, so their job is to sort of be an honest broker within the agency to when they have to do
basically like an audit,
have to do an investigation. Mm-hmm. They don't play favorites, and they don't hold back, and they don't do office politics. They just lay the facts out as they find them.
That's right.
And we're waiting on that?
Yes, we are waiting on that. Well, and it delves into the FISA application.
Well, then
process. That
may be something that Attorney General Barr looks at to say, okay, let's wait till this comes out.
That's true.
And go from there. And that's okay. That's good.
That's only 4 or 5 weeks away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. $500,000 for one speech from Bill Clinton. He went to Russia to deliver it.
Yeah.
While his wife is Secretary of State. Mm. And Rachel Maddow says nothing.
Yeah, not a problem.
Not a problem. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. You think somebody pays you $500,000 for one speech, they might want something else?
Could be.
They may want something else.
Yeah.
All right, Fred, what do you got?
Well, the president's Twitter finger was busy last night.
Really?
And he's
unusual.
He's decided to jump in on the Jussie Smollett case, and we've talked a lot about that this week. He wants the FBI and the DOJ to review the Smollett case. And if you haven't been listening over the last 2 or 3 days, mm-hmm. Jussie Smollett walks away. The fact he was, indicted on 16 felony charges with regards to his hoax, his being attacked.
Filing fake police report,
yep.
Basically.
And the prosecutor up there, her name is the state attorney, pardon me, Kim Fox, let him go on this. So now the president is saying he wants the FBI and the DOJ to investigate all of this. Now, we've been reporting all week how the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, he calls it a whitewash by the state attorney, letting Smollett go.
Whitewash of justice.
A whitewash of justice. That's the exact quote. The police department, who investigated this, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars investigating this, they're upset. So Trump is saying we need to do something about this. Now, this case, I tell you what, even a lot of the liberal media are very upset about this because it discredits actual hate crimes, because that's the picture that Smollett was trying to paint, that he was attacked by a couple of guys. They put a noose around his neck because he's black and homosexual.
Yeah, he said, this is MAGA country.
Right. Yes, that's
Chicago.
That's what he said. Anyway, this morning, commentator Dana Loesch talked about this and talked about this state attorney, Kim Fox. She apparently has a bit of a record of doing these kinds of things. Cut number 4.
People say this is political, but I don't understand who benefits.
Do you know who doesn't benefit, Brian, with this? Are all of the innocent people who are caught in the middle by Kim Fox's corruption and elsewhere. Just a couple of weeks ago, one of the violent offenders that her office just slapped on the wrist killed a cop. So there's a family out there that is mourning the loss of one of their finest police out there mourning the loss of one of their officers.
So what she's saying is that Kim Fox has done this before. Now, Fox is defending herself, but here's what's really interesting. It's another ingredient that came out in the last 24 hours. Somebody got a hold of a memo that her office put out, and in the lead up to letting Smollett go, she was looking for her office staff to come up with other cases where they let people go like this.
So she didn't know off the top of her head.
Well, she wanted to be able to respond to the fact, oh, we do this all the time. There's nothing special. He's not getting any special treatment.
I'll be interested to know if they've done this before.
Yes.
That makes it right.
No.
I got some more to say about that when we get back from the break. I want to talk about that for just one more minute or two. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Check us out at Today's Issues on YouTube or Facebook. Today's Issues, and we shall return momentarily. Stay with us.
You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree.
kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's What's the question, Ed? How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues, Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday. Woo.
Today is the best day for you to begin planning for tomorrow, and the AFA Foundation can help.
It's just a tiny piece of your planning for the future. We have to live our lives as if our Lord and Savior is going to return today. But we should plan our lives as if it's going to be 100 years from now. We don't know. We need to be planning. We need to be thinking. Proverbs 19 reminds us that we will be poorer for lack of planning.
A knowledgeable AFA Foundation representative will gladly explain the nuances of charitable gift annuities and answer your questions. Find out about charitable gift annuities when you call 800-326-4543, extension 345. 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or by visiting afafoundation.net.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Get ready for a new book from Dr. Seuss. That story next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. There must have been a great shout of joy in Whoville after Random House announced a new book from Dr. Seuss. Theodore Geisel died in 1991, but the famed children's author left behind an unfinished manuscript, and that manuscript has now become the basis for Dr. Seuss's Horse Museum. The story and some rough sketches were discovered in a box of papers. Inside that box was the manuscript for What Pet Should I Get, published in 2015. Illustrator Andrew Joyner completed Dr. Seuss's Horse Museum. Random House says it is subtly Seussian. The book will include horse artwork by Pablo Picasso and Jackson Pollock, not to mention cameos from The Cat in the Hat and, of course, The Grinch. And who better to publish a discourse about a horse than Dr. Seuss, of course. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program. Today's Issues on AFR Live Radio. I'm Tim with Walker and Fred, and we appreciate you listening to AFR. We're wrapping up this situation. We were talking about the Jussie Smollett. He's the actor that was let go on after 16 counts, 16 felony counts in Chicago. It's interesting to me here is one thing is this is pitted liberal against liberal.
Yeah.
Because Rahm Emanuel is a
former chief of staff for Barack Obama.
Yeah, he's a left wing guy, but he's mad.
Yeah.
He's mad because the city of Chicago spent so much money, time, energy, and effort, and then to have it dropped by the state's attorneys, all the charges dropped without explanation. He's mad, or at least. And then you got the chief of police, there, an African American man.
Yeah,
he's mad at for the state's attorney. State's attorney, is that what you call him?
Yeah, state attorney. That's right.
Dropping it, dropping the case inexplicably. Now, normally I may have a little bit different take than most people on what the president's talking about. You guys may agree with him, and I don't know. I may too. I hadn't thought this thing completely through, but that never stopped me from talking here. Well, it has taught me. It has stopped me before, but on this one, I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. This is an elected position, right?
Correct.
For what's her name?
Her name is Fox.
F-O-X-X?
Yes. Her name is Kim Fox.
Okay. She's the one. She recused herself. But basically, it's her office that let this guy off.
Yes. Well, officially, she recused herself, but she was still in charge.
But she's the one who said, basically, letting off all the charges.
Yep.
This guy, which is still shocking to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wondering to yourself, something fishy here. What if somebody get to her with something? There's somebody trying to blackmail her, or
right.
Somebody going to pay her off, or she's doing a personal favor for Michelle Obama's chief of staff, which is a friend of hers, which is representing the family of Smollett, or does she just, I don't know. You think about all these reasons because it's inexplicable, right?
Yep.
Why she would do something like this. So, because I kind of expected him to have to make a public apology and then maybe get some community service and have to pay a fine. But at least admit what you did. I made all this up, and it was a lie, it was a hoax, and I apologize to everybody. I'm embarrassed, ashamed, and willing to do what it, you know, whatever he wants to say. He didn't even have to do that. No. He went on with his little fairyland story.
Yep.
But now here's my point. If she's an elected official in Cook County, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to do this, I don't know that I agree that the feds ought to come in and look over her shoulder and find out what's going on. Let Cook County voters see if they want to keep her or not. Every time something happens on a local level, I don't think it's a good idea to send in the feds.
No. Right.
For example, you remember what happened in Ferguson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The officer there, Darren Wilson,
mm-hmm.
who, as it turns out, didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Michael Brown tried to attack him, and he got shot.
Yeah.
Trying to attack a police officer. You remember that?
Yes.
Hands up, don't shoot, never happened. That was discovered after all the court trial and investigation and witnesses and everything like that. Well, then President Obama and Eric Holder sent in 40 FBI agents to Little Ferguson, Missouri, to try to find out something on Darren Wilson. 40 FBI agents, and they couldn't find anything. But there was a show of, it was a show, basically. Yeah. So I don't know about, all that.
The FBI was involved with this case prior to the announcement this week because of the letter that the producers of the show, Empire, received.
Right.
Allegedly talking about a threat to Smollett.
Yeah, that was a different issue, though, right?
Yeah.
But it involves this case.
Yeah.
The FBI is already involved, even before President Trump made this announcement.
Yeah, one thing that could happen, I think, would address the concerns that you raised, Dad, is the state, the governor, or the state attorney general could look into whether Ms. Fox mishandled this.
Yes.
Case, and that would keep it within the state level.
Mm-hmm.
But the FBI, I would encourage the FBI, you can make things right without even looking into the prosecutor. The FBI can bring these federal charges against Smollett.
From the letter, you're talking
about? From the letter, from the mail fraud and things like
that. Yeah, that'll probably happen.
Yeah, they can do that without even delving into the prosecutor.
Oh, yeah, it's a totally separate case in terms of... You can't use the United States Postal Service to threaten people. And if you get caught, you get in serious trouble.
Right.
Especially if you wrote the letter yourself.
Exactly.
Yes.
Wrote your own death threat letter. This guy is just not very bright, Smollett guy. He is just...
But to your point, the voters in that county...
Yeah, if they want to let this
have
go
elected
on.
These people, mm-hmm. just like out in California and New York and Illinois. I mean, it's a blue state. They elect these left wingers who go soft on crime, let people off the hook, and then that's just the elections have consequences.
If you know, it's just that's the way I see it. Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story.
Something a little strange happened in Savannah, Georgia last night. They have a marital election coming up. And there was a meeting last night at a church in Savannah.
There was a ghost?
Of the three African-American people who want to be mayor. The current mayor is a white person. Three African-Americans, they were invited, I guess, to some kind of forum at this church in Savannah, Georgia last night. But there was a sign on the door that said, black media only. Black press only.
Mm-hmm.
That was the sign on the door.
Mm-hmm.
Reporters, white reporters, showed up to cover the meeting, but they weren't allowed in. Black press only.
That sounds like segregation.
Mm-hmm. The reason I said ghost, isn't it Savannah? Isn't that where they have ghost tours and stuff over there in Savannah, Georgia?
Mm.
I think they do. Anyway, so reading your story here, Fred.
This is Associated Press story.
Associated Press. So they have supposed to have a debate or a forum, you said?
A forum of some
type. To discuss
the
issues.
Wow. At this church.
About Savannah, and you got one white fella and three black folks running for mayor?
Only the three black folks were allowed at the forum, apparently.
Right, right. You mean the white mayoral candidate wasn't even allowed?
Oh, no.
And no white reporters.
And no white reporters. There's a sign on the door of the church. Black wow. press only.
Black press only.
Wow.
Okay, well. That's interesting. The Savannah Morning News reports white reporters were denied. It's not funny, but it just sounds funny when you were denied. Reports white reporters were denied entry, while at least two black reporters were allowed inside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, now could the white reporters stand outside and ask questions through the window or something? Huh?
This is unbelievable. This is like a
that's like a joke. This is a joke, right? Is this fake news, Fred?
It's not fake news.
That's true. That happened.
That really happened?
This happened.
Okay.
So it'll be it. Now, I don't often congratulate the Associated Press, but I will.
Okay.
They've written this story.
Huh?
But the next step in all of this, okay, is the ACLU going to step in here?
Right. Right.
And, I mean, is the Southern Poverty
Law
what
Center?
If you had somebody who's half black, half white? Can they straddle the door?
Don't
Can
know.
They get in? Huh?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've never seen a story like this. The 22 years I've been here.
Seen that one.
And it has. This is. I'm looking at a USNews.com. Oh, it's the AP story, basically copy and pasted on this website.
Mm.
But they have pictures, and I'll send this over to Brent to put on Facebook. But they have pictures of the door. That says, no audio or video recording, no media, black press only. True story. This was dated yesterday.
Okay.
So I'll send this over, Brent. We'll put this on Facebook.
The AP story mentions the pastor of the church. He's Reverend Clarence Teddy Williams. He declined to discuss the entry policy.
Okay.
So I'm just anxious to see what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
Is the ACLU...
Is the Civil Rights Division of the FBI going to head down there?
Are they going to head down there?
I say we send 40 agents down there.
I say we do it.
Huh? Okay, so what's going to happen
right,
here?
Right, yeah. Right. And the also the news media, what do you call it, association.
They should be concerned about that.
Yeah. They ought to be. Yeah. But
you're not kidding. That really happened.
This is Associated Press. I just got this a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
All right. You mentioned Rachel Maddow. You're not part of her fan club, are you?
Rachel Maddow, I've watched her total 30 minutes in 5 years.
Star of MSNBC.
I know who she is. Yes, she's very popular with their audience.
We ought to feel a little sorry for her this morning.
Why is that?
Oh, her audience numbers have plummeted.
Oh.
They're down 20%.
Because no Russian collusion story to cover?
Russia collusion. Got flushed. So she's hasn't got
she
a lot to talk
come
about.
They need to come up with a new boogeyman.
They will. They'll try. But, you know, this is what they've this is what the media, this is a natural consequence of their actions, and that is you hype up this story that has really no meat to
For 2 years.
For 2 years, you get all your viewers who are gullible, if you will, mm-hmm. who aren't
Well, they're
informed.
Trump haters, too. They need a fix.
Sure, yeah, they need something to latch onto. Well, they bite onto the story, to the bait, for 2 years, and then it turns out it's all false.
Right.
And then some of those people, 20%, probably said, I'm not watching this anymore.
That's a significant drop-off in your viewership. 20%?
Yeah.
In the last few days?
Just in the last few days.
I'd come up with something there. Maybe does she sing or dance?
Not sure.
Huh? What? Not sure.
Yeah, she's got to come up with something.
Something. I would bring some dancing bears on or something.
Flip side of all of this is the ratings have shot through the roof at Fox.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Again. I mean, almost double the audience of MSNBC. Almost double.
That's a big blow also to CNN. CNN counted on the Russia collusion story for the last 2 years to carry them. And now they're going to have to search for something else.
They've already found it.
What's that?
They've already found it.
CNN has?
Yeah, Tucker Carlson last night in his monologue. Nancy Pelosi yesterday pivots. Now we're going to focus on Obamacare. Those bad Republicans, they want to get rid of Obamacare. Tucker Carlson last night. Can I play a little bit of Tucker Carlson here?
Yeah, and then we got Steve Tyber coming up in just a minute.
About a minute. He said, it's real strange. After Nancy Pelosi announces yesterday, now Democrats are going to focus on Obamacare. Guess what happened on CNN? All the anchors, like they were listening to Nancy, they all started to talk about Obamacare. So this is cut number five.
This past Sunday afternoon, we learned that the Trump campaign did not collude with the government of Russia. That was the conclusion of Robert Mueller's investigation. It was apocalyptic for the Democratic Party and their press agents in the news media. These are the people who would stake their reputations and their fortunes on the collusion hoax. For progressive channels, this was a catastrophe. Something had to be done. So into this disaster stepped the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. On Monday, just hours after the collusion story collapsed, Pelosi announced that the Democratic Party would be switching gears. Going forward, Democrats would focus intently on health care. I hope the press focuses on health care, Pelosi said. She didn't have to ask twice. When America's most powerful Democrat speaks, CNN listens with pen in hand. These are marching orders. Gone were the segments about office towers in Moscow and Carter Page's spying and Don Jr. going to prison. In their place, long editorials about health care. The Democratic health care plan is sensible and necessary, CNN told us. The Republican plan, cruel and heartless.
That's Tucker Carlson's editorial last night.
Yeah, but it is interesting
how
these CNN hosts, like 50% of them, they all mention the same talking points on the same day. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you talk about line by line, sometimes some of these segments where they're saying the same things that all the Democrats are on television.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right.
Yeah, Tucker Carlson went on to say CNN is really a super PAC.
I'd do the same thing if you were her. If you were them, you got to find something to move on to, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to try to say that President
Save
Trump's
Obamacare.
Trying to take away Obamacare.
Yeah.
And we need to fight him on that. Is that that the next?
Yeah, that's probably the
big
next
story.
Thing. Yeah,
that just doesn't have the same.
No,
huh? That's just not doesn't have the same juice that.
No.
That Trump and Vladimir Putin hooked up on the election.
Yeah.
Huh? Does it, Walker? You think?
No.
I don't think so. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You want to send us an email, do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Well, 8 Days of Hope continues their good work across the country. And they are in Alabama now in response to the tornadoes that hit a few weeks ago. You remember that was in the news. Some strong tornadoes in central lower Alabama and even into Georgia. And Steve Tyber is on with us to tell us what 8 Days of Hope has been doing. Steve, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Steve. What give us the latest.
You know, we're in Alabama, Tim. We've been here for 20 days. We will pull out of here tomorrow night. It's been a a great time of about 450 volunteers from around the country. We were loving these families who have lost everything. You probably remember 23 people passed away during those horrific tornadoes. So there's been a lot of time for us to love people and help them in the healing process and work on their homes as well. But it's been an amazing 3 weeks, and we're just thankful that God's given us an opportunity to love and serve these families that were in need.
Steve, when you come on, you usually have the numbers in terms of how much you guys do measure. Now, some things are not measurable, but some things are, and you guys usually measure what you're able to accomplish in terms of homes repaired and things of that nature.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so in Alabama, we served 140 families. Some of them we tarped roofs. We did chainsaw work at 140 different sites. Some homes that were totally destroyed, we helped the families clean their properties and remove the debris. And so we did about $500,000 of work the last 3 weeks. When you do rapid response, the numbers aren't like a rebuilding trip, but the ministry still is the same. We're getting ready to leave tomorrow, as I mentioned, and we're off to Nebraska. You probably saw the flooding that's going on in the Midwest right now, and the need is huge. We're going to be based in Omaha, Nebraska. And all the information's on our website, but we'll be heading there now for the next 3 weeks, helping some of these the families that had their homes flooded by the recent rains and storms.
Hey, Steve, this is Walker here. Tell our listeners, for those who are maybe considering volunteering, they just want to know what they can do. Tell our listeners, I know, give them the rundown on what qualifications, if any, are needed to come volunteer for a couple days or however long.
For the Omaha Project, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Thank you, Walker. Great question. So the nice thing about rapid response trips, we tell people you don't need any skill set. You don't have to be a carpenter, a plumber, a roofer. If you have hands and you have a willing back to do some work, there's something for everybody with 8 Days of Hope. It's free. We provide food and lodging, so you'd have a safe place to sleep. We have hot showers ready for you. We're going to feed you real good. We start every day and end every day with a time of worship and devotion. It's a really unique experience. You do need to be 18 on our rapid response events. Our rebuilding trips, any age can come, but this is an active disaster site, so you have to be 18. And all that information is on our website. Again, it's free. Read the FAQs on our website, frequently asked questions. And you'll know where to go, what to bring, what a typical day looks like. And this will be our 24th rapid response trip in just the last 4 years. So the prayer of Jabez has been answered, and God has given us an opportunity to be his hands and feet of his son through so many of these disasters.
Talking to Steve Tiber, President, CEO of 8 Days of Hope. Where do people go if they want to get more information, sign up, come help, all that good stuff, Steve?
Yeah, so our social media sites are great, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We give daily updates on all three of those. But our website today, if you go to 8daysofhope.com, you need to spell out 8 days, plural, 8daysofhope.com. You can volunteer or donate or learn more about the ministry. We travel anywhere within a day or two of a disaster to do rapid response. And then later this year, we'll be looking to go back to North Carolina and or Florida, help out Hurricane Michael and Florence families rebuild their homes. And so if you know how to cook, if you know how to deliver products to a home, you can pick up people from the airport. If you can do some grunt work or can handle a chainsaw, go to 8dayshope.com. There's a place for you.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, my friend.
All right, guys. God bless you. Thank you for your support. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Steve Tiber joining us. He's on his way from Alabama to Nebraska now.
Yeah. And kudos to 8 Days of Hope and Steve Tiber and their entire crew, because they definitely stay busy, because it seems like we get done with one natural disaster, get things cleaned up, and then another one hits. So
big
they're
country.
Always busy. That's right.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Well, last week in the city of San Antonio, Texas, there was a vote at city council. They're working on a new contract with a firm that will be leasing out space in their airport for concession stands. And so they agreed to give the contract to this organization, I think a Paradis Lagadier, I think that's what it's called. But they put a condition on giving the contract to this group, which, again, is going to lease out space, various spaces for various concession stands in the airport. They said, we'll give the contract to this group with the understanding that they will not lease any of those concession spaces to Chick-fil-A. And the reason that was given at city council was, well, the founder of Chick-fil-A has spoken out in favor of only traditional marriage, marriage between a man and a woman. That means.
That was in 2012, mm-hmm. even.
Yep.
But still, you're telling me that. You're telling me the San Antonio Airport Authority, is that who?
No, the San Antonio City Council.
City Council.
Which runs the airport.
Yeah, denied Chick-fil-A a restaurant in the airport.
Even though there are Chick-fil-A's in town. In the city.
Because the founder of Chick-fil-A,
mm-hmm. many years ago.
Dan Cathy, I think, is his name.
Yeah.
Truett Cathy, his father, who founded Chick-fil-A, said he's a Christian.
Yes.
Said he was in favor of traditional marriage. In 2012, made a comment about that, and that's being used against him today to deny. Chick-fil-A will be fine.
They'll be fine. However,
be fine. But it is.
Here's what's happened just in the last day or so. First Liberty Institute.
Yeah.
Which is a Christian law firm.
Yeah.
Has now written a letter to Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao.
Mm-hmm.
They want her to investigate. It's an airport mm-hmm. facility about religious discrimination. And here's a little bit of their letter written by Hiram Sasser, the general counsel for First Liberty.
We know Hiram, yeah.
Federal taxpayers should not be required to subsidize religious bigotry.
That's a good point.
Yep.
The city council cannot operate in a way that brazenly violates the Constitution and federal law, but if it chooses to, then the federal government should pull its grant.
That's right, because this is not a private entity declining Chick-fil-A access to a building.
Yes.
This is the government, the city council, telling Chick-fil-A, basically, we don't like your founder's religious beliefs.
Yes.
That's what this is about, because marriage, the belief in traditional marriage, is a deeply held religious belief that's been with Christianity for thousands of years, and it's rooted in Scripture. So this is religious discrimination, and it shows that these Democrat cities are intolerant of not just activist Christian groups like AFA, but if you're a business and somebody in your leadership believes in the Bible and natural marriage, then you can't operate here.
And let's be very clear about this. And Chick-fil-A has run into this problem before in New York, I think, and some other places. They do not ask customers who come up to their counter, hey, are you a homosexual? I'm not going to serve you. They don't do that.
Right.
Right. Probably a good idea.
Yeah. They don't do that.
Not to do that.
They serve everybody.
They serve everybody. And also, they don't, this is just, these people, they want to, the LGBT, and not all LGBT folks are like this, by the way, but probably a majority of them are. They just want to push that stuff on everybody. Mm-hmm. And if you offer any objection whatsoever, and in this case, Chick-fil-A didn't. This was a comment.
7 years ago.
7 years ago, a comment by the CEO of Chick-fil-A that he believed in marriage between a man and a woman. Guess who else said that back then? Barack Obama.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's true.
And Hillary Clinton. They didn't believe in same-sex marriage back then either.
Right.
And it's just, these folks just want to push every day that agenda. We'll be back in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.